All right.
Good. Good sign.
Live.
We are on the record.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
About 30 seconds early.
Yeah, we're just a little bit short. We'll go at when the clock strikes one. That's okay. We're good.
As my husband taught me, early is on time.
Early is good. I'm getting better as I age, so I used to have a real big problem, but now it's just a little less than a problem. We are live. We are at 1 o'clock. I will call to order this meeting of the Park County Board of Commissioners on Tuesday, March 10th. If you're so inclined, invocation and pledge by Commissioner Gimmer.
Lord, we come to you today with a thankful heart. We come to you today as well to bring up our service members serving overseas. We pray protection and wisdom in their adventures over there and what's going on. We pray for our county and the individuals in need in this county, that you guide them and assist them in all the ways that they need. We also pray for our state when it comes to the House reps and the senators, that you bring wisdom and understanding into the minds in the decisions that have to be made. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Gimmer. We would have for the record, Clerk Castle is here, Commissioner Gimmer, Commissioner Mitchell, Commissioner Whistle, Lucas Meyer, County Manager, Nate Osterberg, our legal analyst, and John Evans, our counsel, should be on the Zoom room.
He is.
He is. Welcome, everybody, and we welcome all of you in the room and those on Zoom. We have before us a proposed agenda. What is the pleasure of the board for modification?
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the agenda as written.
I'll second it.
It's proper motion and second. Further discussion? Seeing none, call the question. Those in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. First thing up on our list is the consent items, approval of vouchers, and approval of minutes.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the consent items, the vouchers for 3-10, and the minutes for March 3rd, 2026.
I will second that.
Proper motion and second. We have, just for the record, $177,942 going out this week. That's a really good thing for us. With that little bit of edification, call the question on the consent items. Those in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries 3-0. Up next, number one, consideration and or decision on the following items. Approve or deny a resolution for the minor subdivision recommending approval to subdivide two parcels into three lots. The subject properties are described as Mineral Survey 8270A, parcel number 90981, and Mineral Survey 8270B, parcel number 90982, and are addressed as 6632 County Road 12, Alma, Colorado. The applicant is Joseph Harrington of Minewater Finance, LLC. This is case A25-0110. This is an item that came before us, I think in February, as I recall. And it was basically is taking two parcels up by the North London, I'll call it at this point a historic area. That's what it's working to be, the historic North London, and create an ownership parcel that satisfies both needs for both different parties. So it's a minor subdivision, and I think it addresses what those folks intended to do.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the resolution for minor subdivision recommending approval to subdivide two parcels, parcel 90981 and parcel 90982, to subdivide into three parcels, addressed 6632 County Road 12, Alma, and it was hearing A25-0110.
Proper motion.
I'll second it.
Proper second. If we were to adopt this, Madam Clerk, what would the resolution number be?
2026-011.
Okay. Any further discussion? We had this up. It was fairly comprehensive, I think. It really is addressing a need by both parties, and I think it's a simple and straightforward minor sub.
Yeah, I don't disagree. We put a when this was presented in front of us, it was a pretty clear and cut division of what was needed, and it fit the bill exactly what they were looking for. So.
Yeah, I agree. It solves the challenge that they were facing, and so it was a good solution.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-2-0. That will be resolution 2026-011. Okay. Next up on our agenda. Number two, approve or deny Land and Water Trust Fund project recommendations. These, again, I think we heard last week, or was it the week?
Last week.
Last week. My, how time flies when you're having fun. We had fire-adapted Bailey Mountain Pine Beetle Watershed Mitigation Project. That's first up on our agenda. So why don't we take that first? Robin, I thank you for coming. And
Liz is online, just Liz to let you know, Mr. Chair, if you need her.
Liz Biggs is online. She's our liaison to the Land and Water Trust Fund Board. I have looked at this. I have I think we need to have a discussion in my mind about the ballot question. And does this fit? Because that was one of our major questions. So we had, Commissioner Mitchell had the question. This is from the 2018 election. Which changed some of the terms of the purpose of the voter approved allowances for the use of this money. So, the original, just a little background. The original question was done in 1997. I had some involvement in that with many other people, and the whole purpose at that time was to fight the South Park Conjunctive Use Project that was brought by the City of Aurora. In short. Summary, that would take groundwater in times of drought and put it down the river to Denver, and in times of good water, they would let it percolate from shallow surface reservoirs back into the aquifer. The science was proven in court not to work, and that went away, and longstanding now is the Land and Water Trust Fund. So some thought was given back in 1997 when it was created, and after the litigation was done, which was about 2010, 2011, 2012, somewhere in that time frame, what would be the purpose of the fund after the litigation? The purpose of the fund and why there's a minimum reserve amount of $1.5 million is in case of any future water projects that downstream or outside entities wanted to come to Park County. It would be basically a on-the-table defense fund to ensure that project or that thought, that idea, wouldn't harm or negatively impact Park County. So now it was reauthorized a second time. It's been reauthorized a third time in 2018, and that's the ballot language that we're talking about. So if you'll permit me. It says, without increasing taxes, shall the existing Park County 1% sales tax approved as referendum 1A by the Park County electors on November 7, 1997, be reauthorized and extended annually for the period beginning January 1, 2019 and ending on December 31, 2028? And shall the monies received from such sales tax continue to be received and spent by the county in any year without regard to any spending, revenue raising, or other constitutional limitation, the debriefing function. With the revenues derived from such 1% sales tax continuing to be used exclusively for the preservation, protection, acquisition, improvement of park and maintenance of Park County's remaining water resources and lands in Park County containing associated water rights and water resources. And that was the original question. And then there was a ballot question that added, shall the permitted uses of the proceeds of the 1% Land and Water Trust Fund sales tax include the preservation, protection, acquisition, leasing, improvement, and maintenance of water rights, water system structures, open space, and wildlife and outdoor recreation resources. That was the addendum in 2018 that was approved by the voters. So that's the language that's on the table in front of us today. So the primary question in my mind is, does this project meet the intent of the fund?
And I'd like to have a little discussion on that, because this came to my question as well, as far as, does it meet the ballot question? And, you know, when I read through what was presented, and when it comes right down to it, when you're talking about, in their own terminology here, the risk to water supplies because they can lead to severe flooding, erosion, and delivery of sediment, metals, rivers, other issues getting into the water quality with a major fire and fire issues. The one place that I can see where this can potentially meet this ballot question is when it talks about improvements and maintenance of water systems and structures. Now, that can be a stretch to pushing that, but the idea behind it does meet a lot of what the RAP side of things was going after when it comes to management of the flow of the water post a major fire issues, and the ramifications of not controlling these issues in our forests and surrounding communities by not doing anything could cause major issues in water flows, water destruction as far as sediment materials moving down, causing a lot more clogging to the main structures and systems. That's the one side of this that I believe it can fall within that purview of that ballot question, just for discussion.
Okay, and then I'll further that question just to throw it on the table. And I don't know, do we want to put a motion on the table before we continue, or just want to keep talking before?
I just thought we'd have a good discussion on the intent of the language of the ballot question, because that's what's guiding. We're the ultimate deciders. We're the determiners of what is applicable or isn't.
Right.
And we may or may not all agree that we understand that there's a huge issue with this coming, with the red and dead trees and the beetle infestations and what that causes.
Oh, don't I know it.
So.
But my question is, the three watersheds, and I did not pull up the file on my computer, but those three watersheds, where the mitigation on those focus, will that, my goal is, would that protect Shawnee water? Will that protect Bailey water? I mean, would it protect those resources that are in the county? Because not that I don't care, but I don't think it's the county's responsibility to spend a lot of money to worry about Cheeseman Reservoir and all the other downstream. I mean, really the Front Range needs to help pony up some money to protect the whole downstream water quality till it gets to the reservoirs where it's ultimately used for the Front Range. But I want to make sure that this work is going to protect those resources that serve our residents. So, and you guys probably know better, because, I mean, I know where they are, but I don't know all the nexus.
Yeah, no, and that's a great question to ask as to what is the nexus, how does that work. I will tell you that mitigation in the South Platte region in general, and going through that section, should there be a fire and you have huge issues of runoff and major issues through that section, it would greatly impact, if not completely close down, some of these structures in Shawnee water as well as Bailey water, with the amount of sediment that could migrate and would migrate into their system.
I don't disagree with any of the comments. It's just, does this fit? And right now, I don't think it does, but I don't want to slam that door and not consider all the options.
Well, I got one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
Voters passed this, you know, back in, it wasn't that long ago. When I read it, I thought, cool, good, you know, there's money available to do some of these cool things. Did the voter ever think that it would be cutting down live trees that have beetles in them and cutting down red and dead trees that are killed by beetles. That's what I kept asking myself, is that would the voter believe that that would happen when they read this language?
Well, let's go back a little bit further, if I may, because when you look at the original intent of the fund and the expansion in 2018 was at the time an effort to utilize the income, because remember, until 2018, 2019, with the Wayfair decision, the Land and Water Trust Fund was generating about $600,000 a year. Okay, when that 1% was funded in 1997, I think it was $100,000. It was not envisioned at the $3 million that it has grown to today. Okay, so Wayfair decision, for people who are going, what are you talking about, is when, I think under the IRS code, I don't remember, it was federal, when internet purchases then were subject to sales tax and remitted to the government that was entitled to that sales tax. So from whatever the collection was before, when the Wayfair decision came into being, the questions about internet purchases was resolved and that taxes could be and would be applied. So from that point forward, all of the people receiving sales tax got those internet purchases that were applicable for the devices and items they were selling in their jurisdictions. So that took the fund up to a million plus, and now we're at somewhere around 3 million. And it'll be up for reauthorization in 2028. So I appreciate the question, Commissioner Mitchell, but let me try to just step back a minute, because we have gone through this. When we lived in Red Hill Forest, 1985, we bought our first house there. It was spruce budworm. So we went through that. We, as an association in our development, we sprayed it. We did everything we could to preserve the evergreen vegetation. Then came the pine beetle of the late 80s and early 90s, and it basically removed and eliminated the majority of the lodgepole population in all of Summit and Grand counties. And they clear cut a lot of it just to protect the area, other areas from the disease. So the pine beetle has come, and it's certainly exponentially worse in drought. And we have a region problem, if not an entire Colorado problem, in what we would call in the 90s the red zone. And that's all the development in the foothills west of Denver, that where people like us that came to the mountains to stay here, they just happen to be closer to the Front Range. So we have this issue across the county, across the region, that is not going to improve on its own. If its course takes its path of least resistance, our evergreen population won't exist. And then that, having gone back to Buffalo Creek 1, High Meadow, and every other fire in between, that degradation is directly related to water quality, quantity, and the downstream users. And so the governor's made a proclamation that the Front Range is in his sights for this issue. What that gains us, I don't know. I've talked to John Geddes with CUSP, and he's ready to help and come to a powwow to talk about this, irrespective of this application in all of our fire districts and areas of the county through the Emergency Services Council. And we were just having a conversation before the meeting started, so we want to reach out to the Emergency Services Council and bring all of the affected players, including FAB, if you'd be so kind, to come to that meeting so that we can do some strategery from each fire district of 7 independent individual districts. Do they have plans, if any? And if so, are there cooperative? Are there things we can do to assist the EMS Council? This problem is going to get, I don't know where this problem is going to go. I think it's going to be bigger than our imagination. When I drive through Schaefer's Crossing, I just came through yesterday coming home, that and Shawnee, I think, are the two illustrations on the North Fork that are the most worrisome. Now, the application that's in front of us is talking about, I think, Deer Creek and Elk Creek drainages and Rock Creek tributary.
Yeah, and I believe that Rock Creek tributary, which is going to affect the Shawnee.
Yeah. So Shawnee, and I appreciate your comment, because where are our existing plants? Where are our existing community water treatment and distribution systems? Shawnee is one. Bailey is second. Will-O-Wisp is third on that side of the pass. Moordale has a central system. They need to be, I think their intake's right off the river. Mm-hmm. Shawnee is a combination of the river and wells, and Bailey, I think, is direct flow river.
It is, yep.
So with that, we know from prior experiences, the further upstream the fire occurs, the longer the degradation and impact may be. So now what do we do? I appreciate your comments thinking this may have a fit, and it may. I'm not saying it doesn't.
Well, and I just want to state that where I see that fit is literally, because that was my original question when this was first presented the first time, as to how does this fit in the ballot language. It wasn't shown anywhere, shape, or form where it was a direct nexus. I think with this new application, it shows how, in my mind, where it could possibly fit. In the idea of protecting those watershed areas, because this will intentionally protect those watershed areas from major fire issues roaring through those areas. As we know, fire is not something that is potentially possibly going to happen. It is imminent that eventually areas are going to be burned. How do we best protect those areas from becoming a huge disaster? This would be one avenue which would save those areas, in my mind, from the amount of erosion that would come post those fires.
So would this also help? I mean, we have to think about Harris Park. They have their ponds, which is their water source, right? Okay, Lucas has his...
Mr. Evans is online and has a comment that he'd like to address.
Oh, okay.
Welcome, John.
Mr. Evans, I will ask you to unmute. We can't hear you.
I can't hear anything.
Your computer control might be on mute. I do that all the time.
You're unmuted on Zoom, John.
I believe his suggestion on this application was to table this one until he'd had a chance to review the ballot language and clear up that in regards to other case law.
Well, I would appreciate legal looking at it, but I really I'd be willing to do that.
So can we not continue our discussion?
I think we can.
I think we should, because this is, we don't have a chance to talk about this except here. So I asked about Harris Park. I mean, would those drainages, Rock Creek, Deer Creek, and Elk Creek, would that also protect Harris Park? Because they've got water there too.
Yes, those ponds, and this was identified in the WUI, are at huge risk of major fires and completely filling those ponds in with sediment.
Right.
Obviously, Elk Creek runs on the one side, Deer Creek runs on the other side of that same area, so all of those ponds would be affected as well. And as you know, those are basically at the near headwaters of those streams, so therefore they would fill up the quickest. And then as you get down further, hopefully sediment would start migrating and becoming less, depending on the fire situation. But those would be the first ones to be affected.
Right.
And I could be wrong, but I believe that is how I see the design plans of how the water flows through there. It would be a direct connection to those.
I'm going to have to go back to the map, but I can tell you Elk Creek is the headwaters in Harris Park, and Deer Creek is the headwaters of Deer Creek.
Basically, the
47.
The joint member of 47.
It's, the ridge that divides them.
Yeah.
And those are the two major courseways that go through Platte Canyon minus the North Fork.
Right. Well, and then there's another question. I mean, this is a lot of questions, and we just want to – I think this is helpful. So I know, Commissioner Gemmer, you've said in the past that red and dead trees don't burn hot because they have no sap left. And does pine beetle, because this is fire mitigation, or is this forest preservation? Really, it's forest preservation, not fire mitigation, because the trees that have pine beetles in them right now that need to be cut down, I guess, are susceptible to fire. But the red and dead ones don't burn as hot because they are not. And so really, is this fire mitigation?
So, to answer your question, I did state that. That is what my understanding from Forest Service. The red and deads that are completely dead standing have the moisture content so low it makes it difficult for them to cause major issues. But that being said, weakened trees, which are the live ones that have been weakened by the beetle kill, are where you're seeing the most evident of huge explosions of fires because there's still moisture content in them to the point of that they get extremely hot and spread extremely fast because they are in a weakened state.
Right. So and drought does the same thing too.
Drought does the same thing.
Situation. Yeah.
Drought and beetles make it exponentially worse.
Yeah, it just exacerbates the problem. It really does. Yeah, I think I would love to have John just take a look at it and give us his legal review. But I just don't see it. That's just myself. I mean, I think you make a good argument for it, and I could be swayed. I'm not saying I won't be, but at the present time, I think it's a stretch.
Right. I just want to make sure that I am doing what the people expected when they said, yes, we will continue to give you money. You know, that's kind of where I land. And I see that we're not taking comment right now. This is a deliberation between the Board of County Commissioners. So, L. Roberts, sorry, but public comment will be at the end of our meeting.
So I really appreciate this discussion because I think it's been long overdue to talk about it. I can just state for the record that the ultimate decision will be this board to determine whether it fits in the criteria or it does not fit in the criteria.
Right.
This is unique to Park County. It's unique to the mission approved by the voters, and no other county in our 63 others have something like this. There are similar funds, but nothing like this.
And I know we had this questionnaire when it was posed to us last week, as to what were the discussions of the Land and Water Trust Fund Board on how it fit the ballot question. I didn't get a direct answer if that question was even asked during that process. But I, under my own evaluation, that's where I'm seeing where it could potentially fit within that ballot question. I do appreciate both of your guys' comments and the understanding of trying to make sure it does fit, because that was a huge concern to me. I do believe at this time, I believe it does fit, but I would love to hear what Mr. Evans has to say.
And I'll just make two more comments. I am not unsympathetic to this problem. Trust me, I probably am going to have to cut down almost every tree on my ranch. And we are, we're in bad shape over in Pike National Forest in the South Park Ranger District. It is devastating. And so I am completely sympathetic. And I'm just going to have to pony up a ton of money out of pocket and heft my chainsaw and go out there and start cutting down trees and then rent somebody, take them away and masticate them to get rid of the beetles. But this is also a project on private property. And that's another thing that just, I understand that you review it and you look at the wind direction and all this stuff, but for public funds to be spent on private property is also another question that we'd like Mr. Evans to look at. Is he fixed? Okay. So does he have the ballot language? Because I can email it to him.
I do not believe he does. I think he just had a comment for now, but he wants
to... Yeah, let's just...
Okay, I'll ask you to unmute Mr. Evans.
Here he is. Welcome, John.
All right, you're unmuted.
I'm back.
He went away.
All right, we'll try one more time. I'm going to ask you to unmute through Zoom.
Okay, this isn't working. I'll tell you what, this is not in front of us. Why don't we, I would entertain a motion to table this to next week until we could do some more homework.
I move that we table the FAB Mountain Pine Beetle Watershed Mitigation Project to a date certain of March 17, after we can get some information and ruling or at least advice from council.
I'll second that.
Proper motion and second. We appreciate it. We're sorry to have you come, Robin, to have a just in, but we will address this next week in one way, shape, or form. Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That motion will be tabled. That item will be tabled till next week. Next up, Platte Canyon Little League. Come on up. Welcome to our podium. We have before us Liz. Are you on?
All right. Liz.
Yes, I am.
Liz, you want to set the table for us?
Thank you. The Platte Canyon Little League put in an application to do some field improvements, which included some artificial turf. This one had mixed reviews from the Land and Water Trust Fund Board as far as approving it, but approving the amounts. So I think James can talk a little bit more about what those prices actually are for you all. But the board had recommended either approving $45,000, $50,000, or $74,000 so they could get their small field done and improvements taken care of.
Okay. Thank you for that. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. So that, if you don't mind me starting, because I know the board, it was set, that was my biggest question to this. And if you don't mind answering that for me, is what I'm seeing is an amount requested of $250,000. And then I see a separation of $45,000, $50,000, or $74,000. Can you kind of clarify what is needed, what you're looking for right now?
Right now for us
is to get the... Is your green light on? And who are you?
I'm James Lashley, Platte Canyon Little League president.
Thank you for that.
Right now for us to get everything done, to install the turf on the small field is going to cost us $40,000, and to get good dirt brought in for that field right now is another $15,000 to $16,000. So we're looking at $55,000 or so right now.
And I know in the application you were also looking for a fence in that application, correct?
Yes.
And what is that fence, the initial fence cost?
I don't know for sure. I don't remember what that fence cost was. That we don't really need the fence for the small field. That was mainly for if we did the big field. The fence on the small field is actually in pretty good shape, and it is a taller fence on that one.
So what would the fence on the big field look like cost?
Right now, about $20,000 to do that fence on that field.
So what I'm hearing from you is that $74,000 puts you in that range of the fence and the little field and the smaller field.
Yes, that is correct.
Of doing not fence for the smaller field, but the turf for the smaller field and fence for the larger field.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you had also put in the application building. You've got the building, but to erect the building for a batting cage.
Yes, that's correct.
And winter workout and work.
And just spring practice because, I mean, like Saturday practice, but we had to cancel all our practices because it snowed. I mean, it's just how it is springtime in Colorado. So and our season starts April 1st, so we just try to get as much practice.
And so what is the cost of the erection of that building?
I don't remember exactly what that was.
Okay. And does that consider obviously a lot of foundational work and other aspects involved in that? That's all included in what the price that was estimated? My curiosity is that where the remainder of the $250,000?
Part of it was part of that, and then getting the turf and everything for the big field.
Okay.
Getting that turf installed in that, because that one, obviously a bigger field, it's going to cost a lot more to put more turf down.
So right now, your urgency, since you know we don't really have the hard numbers for the rest, is the $55,000.
Yes, that is
for correct. for the turf and dirt.
Yes,
turf and sand or whatever it is you're going to put.
Yeah, it's going to be good infield dirt, and then that. I mean, the $40,000 installed for the turf is also putting the sand on the turf, the inlay, and all that stuff. That's all included in that. But just to bring in the good dirt, and part of that dirt's going to go on the big field because we're not going to be able to do that whole field. We just want to make the infield always nicer to play for the high school season that's coming up here in a couple of weeks.
And my understanding is, from speaking to you last week, a lot of that dirt side of that, obviously materials is going to cost the money, but there's going to be in-kind in that as well as far as the trucking and transportation.
Yes, that is going to be, yes.
I just wanted to make sure that was fully aware to the public that there is in-kind involved in this as well.
Yes, I mean, a lot of the in-kind's already been there to get the prep stuff done, to get the field ready for it is now, and then to get the dirt that we found for actual infield dirt, and then another company has offered to truck it at a discounted price for us to bring it up to help us out so we could bring
that. Okay. And then just one other question. During the Land and Water Trust Fund meeting, I happened to be there. You talked about rubber, but you're not going to use that rubber underneath.
Using rubber. We actually, since that meeting, we talked with the company that's installing it, and they said that they recommend using the sand, and it's
perfect.
And it's better for everything. So at that point, we didn't know who was going to install and what we were. So we had a talk with them, and that's all included in the installation is for them to bring the sand and all that in.
Excellent. Excellent.
And if I heard you correctly, one of the entities that you talked to about installing it is, the name of the company is A. Sanchez,
yes,
out of Evergreen. And I know they have installed a lot of turf, as I'm sure you're aware of, but I am as well, that they have worked on a lot of turf, and both in the school districts up there and other aspects. So just wanted to clarify and make sure that people knew that it would be professionally installed.
Yes.
Lucas Meyer.
I just have one question. Given the recommendation from Land and Water Trust Fund, are you willing to consider a phased implementation plan for this?
Yes, I mean, we'd be open to that. I mean, like we said, we want to get the small field because the Little League uses the small field primarily right now. We don't have a lot of kids in our age group to use the big field. But the big field is used right now primarily by the high school and middle school. We lease it to them to use. So that's part of the deal. And then we're hoping that through the years we can get more Little League older kids playing there. And then the nicer we can make it, then we can also use it for T-ball and other kids. Because the more that we can play at Berlin, we have our concession stand there and everything, so we can have more everybody play there if we can use that field better. Use it more for Little League and for high school and middle school.
Questions?
No more questions.
I would like to, if should please the board, I'd like to move to approve the PCLL field improvements to the tune of $74,000 to include the field and the fencing that can be worked on throughout this year.
I'll second that.
Proper motion and second. I have no objection. I'm in favor.
Yeah, and just another comment. I think this is outdoor recreation at its finest. We don't have a lot of tennis courts and all that kind of stuff. We're mountain rural, but group team sports are really good for kids. You know, it teaches kids how to cooperate, how to work together, and I think that this is an asset that we can help with the fencing for the high school and for that larger field, and I think it is good all the way around. So,
one last
bringing it forward.
One last comment for me. I really appreciate the avenue in which the Little League has been working for up there, and how much youth you guys have been able to grow that whole program. I think that this outdoor recreation program is absolutely beneficial for the public in that area. So thank you.
Yep. And I would just echo that. As we talked about it and I reflected on last week, my oldest son, Brandon, is 42. He played on that field. Okay, so the Bailey Bounce goes way back in our family because he was the recipient of one.
Yeah.
In Little League. So yeah, this is something that we don't have a lot of, but if we can improve what we have and make that better, that's what this fund exists for. And I think when you get your plans for the bigger field, come back to us.
Okay.
Okay, you want to call the question? Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion carries 3-0. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, approve or deny proposed Public Works water truck rebuild. We have in front of us.
One more in land and water.
Oh, pardon me.
There is.
I did go right over it. It was the consideration of the Land and Water Trust Fund landfill contingency line item. This has been set up. I think it's $250,000.
Yep. This is just to replenish the contingency fund. There are funds that we use every year from the contingency fund for remediation, testing, things going on with the landfill in Fairplay as we're planning to find some resolution to that with Bureau of Land Management and Town of Fairplay.
Yeah, thank you. That was just that's kind of basically the go-to fund for these kinds of expenses.
Right. I'd like to move that we annually reload the landfill contingency. So every year at the beginning of the year with budget season, the money is reappropriated to that line item so we can do the water testing and everything that we are required to do underneath this. In the amount of $250,000.
Thank you. Proper motion.
That was going to be a second based off of what was that contingency number.
Is that a second?
That is a second.
We took it as a second. We'll take it as a second. Okay, it's before us. To replenish the contingency fund. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, yes. See, guys, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to get the work done.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You guys take
Thank
care.
You. Okay, now I can get back on where I was. We have approve or deny proposed Public Works water truck rebuild. We had this to us last week by Jared and Nick, and I think we were in agreement with this.
Yeah, I believe with our discussion of this, there was a lot of discussion last week. I believe it falls within the budget. It's something that's absolutely needed, something that was discussed at the budget time. So I move to approve the tanker truck purchase from Denver Truck Sales.
Second.
That would be a proper motion.
That's proper motion and second to approve the proposed Public Works water truck rebuild process. And we have all the paperwork on that. It's we'll cover three different. Was it four?
Three trucks. Tank truck quotes. What? And Nick, why don't you come up? We haven't seen you for a while.
And I'm confused.
Welcome.
Self-inflicted confusion, I will tell you. Yeah, I know.
You've got in front of you, you've got three trucks, but one lease agreement. So we'll need the three agreements for Denver Truck Sales signed, and then the one leasing agreement signed through Leasing Specialties.
Got it.
Perfect.
I think we're good paperwork-wise, and I'm less confused than I was before.
That's my goal.
Which is not necessarily saying much.
Right.
Okay, thank you for that.
And just a comment, it's really hard to do good work on I'll call it dirt roads because they're not gravel because we don't hardly ever put gravel on our roads. It's hard to do good work on dirt roads without water. So it's kind
harder,
of a necessary component.
Both ways.
Assuming we will have water this summer, we will need trucks.
That may be the missing component. But I can tell you we had a powwow with Mark Detsky, our water people, and the folks at Applegate Group.
Yeah.
And they are wheeling our water in and spinning.
Great.
Outside our conversation, but just while he's here.
Great.
So we have, and a quantity for, escapes me, Lucas may remember. So we have 10 in Montgomery, which isn't worth much because whenever they need it, they push it out.
Right.
We have the 5 that was up in contention from the center district under the James Tingle Reservoir 1041. And then the, I think there's 5 acre feet from the Deer Creek allotment. And then whatever we have stored, we have 20 acre feet in Spinney, and there's somewhere around 13 and a half, 13 something in there.
Great.
So anyhow, just sort of pass that on to you.
Thank you.
So we can do some work.
Yeah. Good.
We'll have a little water. Mm-hmm. Now, come road season, we'll see. Any further discussion? Call the question. Those in favor of the agreement, vote by saying aye.
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 Vote same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, the other thing, the next thing up here is number 5, approve or deny a recommended professional service agreement.
Went
right over it.
4.
Approval or recommended communication system financing proposal with Motorola Solutions. Boy, it's getting tough on Tuesday. This came before us, Maria and our communications dispatch and E911 guru brought to us an upgrade with the Motorola equipment and all the whys and wherefores and the advantages of moving faster rather than slower. This is within the funding that we have through our E911 authority and other funding mechanisms. And basically, this is an accelerated replacement of the equipment required and necessary in our dispatch and emergency operations center.
Yeah, and I guess we can have some conversation first. In looking at this, we've got 3 different options for payment schedules, and it's for their E911 consoles and what other equipment. And it's been extended to the offer through April 10. So the clock isn't ticking quite as fast, but it's still ticking. And we've got a 3-year, 5-year, and 7-year lease term is what they're offering. And then I think with us accepting one of those, then the contract and everything will be finalized and presented. Because I started reviewing the Motorola contract, and besides needing a magnifying glass to read it, I saw some challenges with it. And so I think it is in the hands of legal. But I would like to bring up the merits and have you guys please chime in on the 3-year, because we currently have a reserve fund in the EY911 of I didn't bring my budget with me, I think it's $651,000, and we bring in about $600,000 a year, and there was a capital line item in the budget this year for $240,000, so if we could do this for 3 years, the interest rate is 5.54%, a little bit more than, 5 years is 5.33, and 7 years is 5.25. So we could save some significant interest expense. And I think that we would still be in good position within that E911 budget to take that approach. And in their offer, there is no penalty for prepayment.
I'm in agreement with the 3-year, the shorter term. If we can afford it, pay for it early, pay it in the 3, and get out of the contract.
Yeah, and I agree with that as well. As you know, it states in that contract that the first payment due 1 year after contract execution. So it wouldn't necessarily be anything. It'd be basically 0 for this year.
So we would have then, if we don't have any other capital expenditure this year, we would have a pretty decent reserve. So I think that we are not stretching the E911 budget at all. In fact, we're being really, really frugal.
Yeah, and see what the unappropriated surplus turns out to be and watch it. Look at it at the beginning of the year and see how it travels through the year.
Right. And Lucas?
We do have the opportunity to take advantage of this discounted period of time, and then shortly after seek grants and other opportunities to further reduce that burden upon the county. So this is something that we can come forward to agreement on if the board so desires, and find additional ways to reduce that cost later.
Right. And one other comment in talking to Maria yesterday is she also is waiting for the information about the maintenance contract. And so there is a maintenance contract that that she will let us know about. Hopefully, I think her contract right now is $20,000 a year, and hopefully it will just remain parity so that it doesn't impact the budget more. But so some of those pieces can pull together, but I think that Motorola is trying to get some business, and I think it's good business.
Is your pleasure to place this on a date certain?
Do we have Maria online?
Oh.
I am online, yes. I'm sorry, I'm not there. I'm not feeling very well. Maria Mitchell, I'm the director of the 911 center. What were your questions?
I think what we were looking at, Maria, was simply the three-year payout instead of the five or the seven, just from a savings standpoint. And there was a year removed from that first payment, as Commissioner Gimmer mentioned.
Yeah.
So we were just trying not to rob the unappropriated funding in the reserves for your E911 authority, if that will fit.
That's what I was looking at the financing agreement. That is what I also felt would be the best option for us.
And now, Maria, you're still waiting for information about what the maintenance contract will be, right?
Correct. Okay. I should have that by the end of the week. I'll get it to you. I'll email it as soon as possible.
Okay.
If we can make the we had talked about the meeting on the 16th, but I'll try to get it to you as soon as I have the information. And then I did confirm that the April 10th date is for signed documents.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You know, at this time, I think I'm going to move to approve the recommended communication system financial proposal with Motorola Solutions, Inc., with the three-year payment option.
Second.
Option one.
Proper motion and second. Discussion. We are on the table for the agreement. We have stated our preference for the 3 years. We're waiting on the maintenance, see how that comes in. Any further discussion?
The only comment is, Nate, the documents have to be signed by April 10. So if you can take back to the legal office that the clock's ticking.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
So noted.
Thank
all
you,
the
everyone.
Question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0.
Thank you, Maria. Feel better.
Thank you, girl.
Thank you.
Okay, where am I? Wrong place. Okay, back on the agenda. We have approve or deny recommended professional service agreement renewal with South Park Site Stewards. This is through the South Park National Heritage Area. This is a reoccurring contract. I believe, was this one for the inventory?
Yes.
Yes, the inventory of potential historic designation sites.
Right, and this was... we've discussed this actually a couple times. It's a reoccurring thing every year. I think it's for $24,980. And I'd like to move that we approve the recommended professional service agreement renewal with South Park Site Stewards, Inc.
Proper motion.
I'll second it.
Proper second. As mentioned, reoccurring contract, continuing the work that's been done in the heritage area. Any further discussion? Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. All right. Number 6 on our agenda, approve or deny Park County voucher policy. Lucas Meyer.
This was a voucher policy that was developed with administration and finance department. Essentially, the two main things. We had never had a voucher policy before, and this is establishes checks and balances that the person creating the obligation for the county is not the same person who is signing and reviewing the vouchers. And additionally, that there is a time frame in which the vouchers must be submitted for payment, and so that those invoices do not receive late fees or penalties, as that's not a best use of taxpayer dollars.
Thank you for that explanation. So we have before us this proposed per-county voucher policy. I was a little amazed that we hadn't had a voucher policy before. We've had procedures, but we are finding ourselves in the unfortunate position of having to adopt policies in order to try and enlist compliance with those folks within our organization. That in its own right is distressing, as well as other things that have occurred, but this is a matter of practice that we have done since we became a board, was look at all of our policies and procedures and to enact and update as necessary. That's what this is.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the Park County voucher policy.
I'll second it.
Proper motion and second. Any further discussion?
All I say is good, clear communication is communication in writing, because words matter, and if it's in writing, it's real.
I agree with that.
And I would say that, you know, we are using public money. This is not a private enterprise. This is public money. Let me reinforce that on everyone. This is not our money. It may be appropriated to you, but it is not your personal disposal. I can't say it any clearer than that. Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. Number 7, approve or deny a recommended requirement for authorized signers for the CSU Extension Bank account with TBK et al. And we have people in the audience that can speak to this. This is basically the consistent checking account. Let's see if I got this right. That CSU Extension uses with, in cooperation of, the 4-H program and those kinds of activities with FAIR and related to our 4-H sponsorships and all those kinds of things. So that's clearly what this account is used for. Mm-hmm. So it's basically changing the signature cards to the people that are in place now, not people 2 or 3 folks ago.
One other request on here is the dollar amount, which would require 2 signatures instead of just 1. And so that dollar amount is the pleasure of the board, in addition to the request to remove staff, which are no longer with us, and add staff, which are.
Yeah, and do you have a recommended amount?
Yeah, what is the current amount?
What is the recommended amount?
Abby, would you come to the microphone and give us a dollar amount?
Abby's here from CSU Extension, and she's telling us in the audience, which we can't hear, so we're bringing her, making her come up to the camera.
You can see the shaking of the head.
Welcome, Abby.
I'm just going to stand here and shake my head. My understanding is that the dollar amount now is $500.
Would you mind announcing your name for everybody?
Oh, yes. My name is Abby Williams. I'm the CSU Extension Specialist for the 4-H program. And, yes, you are correct. That account is used for our 4-H program, and then it can be also used, my understanding, for other extension programming that we may put on. So right now, our tree sale and running a forestry academy could run money through that account. And that is the primary purpose of that account, is just to run money through it. Oftentimes, it's dues from the kids who are in the 4-H program. They send us a check. We put that check into our account. And then we write out a check to the state and pay out the state. There's remaining monies from those dues that we keep. So that's what that account is primarily used for. I will say, looking at invoices from this previous year, most of the checks that I wrote were around $700, $800 for different programs and activities to pay the state, if that makes sense. So it would, if we keep the $500, most checks would still require 2 signatures.
And you want to just make it 1,000?
I would love to make it 1,000.
That was my question. Yeah. I mean, it would, I imagine, simplify things quite a bit if, I mean, for depositing and paying out the normal chain of events that you do, chasing down someone else to sign. 1,000 is a sweet spot.
Yeah, I can think of 2, maybe 3 checks a year that we write for over $1,000. So that is fine with me.
Any objection?
No.
I move, Mr. Chair, that we recommend requirements and authorize signers for the CSU Extension bank account with KBK Bank, naming County of Park, Park County Extension, that's the name, account, ID Public Fund Free Business Account, to require 2 signatures for amounts over $1,000 to remove Tom Eisenman and Barbara Garnett and add April Chabot, Budget and Finance Director, and Abby Schmidt-Williams, Park County Extension Specialist, Lucas Meyer, and add Lucas Meyer, County Manager, and add Brandon Heacock, Assistant County Manager.
I'll second that.
Proper motion and second. I think that sums it up. Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries 3-0. There you go, Abby.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're ready for public comments. If those of you who wish to address the board on the subject of your choice, you have an opportunity to join us in the room or on Zoom for a period of 3 minutes.
All right, Mr. Roberts, I will ask you to unmute.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can now. Get pretty close to your mic.
Okay, will do. Several things. On the school one, I'm not clear. I need some clarification.
Point of privilege real quick. Would you mind announcing your whole name, please?
I'm sorry, Lee Roberts.
Ma'am, we need to know your name, please.
Lee Roberts.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. Pardon me. Pardon me for interrupting.
Thank you.
Again?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Okay. I need some clarification. Apparently, all the things that you're discussing today, there isn't any discussion regarding these things, such as the ball field. And before you make your decision, other times we've come and we've been able to provide input. I'm a little confused on that. But so that I save my 3 minutes. The concern on the ball field, I get concerned that the school isn't helping to pay for this. But my bigger concern is that since I'm hearing impaired, I like to stay off of the road when running, and I would like to use the ball field, but it is locked. And if it's open to the public, we're not able to get in there unless we climb over the fence. So I need some kind of clarification as to whether this is public or not. As far as Denver Water, turning to the water situation on the FAB, I know it's going to be discussed later, and I'm glad that Mr. Evans is going to discuss that, because my question is, why isn't Denver Water or all those who have water rights, why are they not paying for this rather than the Land Water Trust? Denver Water has the senior rights. I know that Park County has some rights, but I don't believe they're as senior as Denver Water. And Denver Water has mitigated in the National Forest along Casey Ranch, and they have done that. Why can't they take care of the water issue themselves? I agree that there does need to be something done. I'm not against it, but I'd rather see Denver Water paying for this, since it is their water that is causing the issues. And I'll reserve the rest till we meet again on the FAB.
Okay, ma'am, you're still within your 3 minutes. You have 30 seconds left.
Okay. I'd like to know what the FAB is going to use the money for. I know that our firefighters have a pension and are paid by the way of our property taxes, and we also pay for their equipment. Are we going to buy different equipment or new equipment in order to do this? And I get my biggest concern is the beaver. We have beaver along Deer Creek now. I want to know how they are going to be taken care of so that they are not disturbed. And we are now have elk coming in. again, two decades ago they were coming in elk and moose, and now they are reemerging with the food, the aspens and the willows that are available. I want to know how they are going to be not disturbed in any of this that FAB would like to do.
Thank you, ma'am. Your time is up. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you. Yep.
Thank you.
If I may, there was a question regarding process and discussion, and normally we don't engage in discussions of public comment, but just for clarification for anybody who's online or in the room, is that we handle the initial discussions with the BOCC regarding any of these applications or anything else that the public wishes to bring forward as ideas, concepts, or even administrative practices within the county at the work session. And then 1 to 3 weeks later, we try and address the actual vote for the issue. That's to encourage public comments via email or phone call, and to encourage all of our citizens to actively engage with their elected officials. And so there is some downtime between, just so that there's that clarification that to watch for when a topic is brought up at the work session, that you do have time before it's voted on to call your elected officials, email, engage in correspondence, and make sure that your voice is heard.
Thank you for that comment, Lucas. John, welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is John Mack, and I only have a question, if I may. The first STR reading was on the 11th, and I was just wondering if there is going to be a second reading and when that'll be.
You know, yeah, it's a good question, John. I don't know when that's going to be because we're still in revisions, as I recall. Lucas, you want to address that?
Yes, we are planning for a second and a third reading, and we will be looking to do the second reading most likely first or second week of April, and then probably towards the end of the month if we are at a point where there is not much consternation with the public or realtors or any invested party. We'll be looking to move forward towards adoption once we've reached language that's most suitable for all.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, John. Any other comments on Zoom land?
All right, seeing no hands up on Zoom, I move we close public comment.
Proper motion.
I'll second it.
Proper second. Any further discussion? Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries 320. Public comment is closed.
I move we adjourn.
Proper motion at 2:07 p.m.
I'll second it.
Proper second. Any further discussion? Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion carries. We're adjourned at 2:07. Thank you, everybody.
And I request we do have an administrative session.
Very good.
For two points. First, I want to discuss the congressional designated spending. It used to be called earmarks, grant opportunity, and I'd like to discuss with my fellow commissioners about applying on behalf of our coroner. They are operating out of 800 square feet. They've got plans to expand the facility where it currently is, and I would like to work with our coroner to submit that grant application.
I agree with you.
No objection. I know you all have been working on it pretty hard. It's submitted, as I recall, or is it?
Well, community project funding and congressional designated spending are both two different grants, but they want the same application, and we would like to really try to get him set up for what he wants to do. If I may have a little privilege, he wants to set up a Central Mountain Regional forensic lab to where he sets up a one-bed morgue to where he can do autopsies for Park County, Lake County, Chaffee County, Fremont County, even Grand County, because transportation to the Front Range for an autopsy is lengthy and expensive. And he's got multiple forensic medical examiners who are ready and willing to perform autopsies here in Fairplay. And so we could be a regional service with all the other work he does on high altitude, decomposition studies, and all the other work he does. He wants to set up a sally port for the building, to set up a meeting room for forensic investigation meetings and a family meeting room. It'll be a multi-purpose room, and other office space for his 20-plus volunteers. And so it's frugal, but he is a good frugal coroner, but it will last probably within the next 20 years if we can get the money to do this. So it'll be more than just Park County, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I think the desire and need has been shown. I believe that the coroner has demonstrated to us earlier in a few different times the need for this. I think this is an absolute great approach to trying to get that funding together.
I support this completely, 100%, because, you know, who knew until you put that grant application in for road money? It got approved. Who knew until you put in a grant application that DOLA actually came back and gave us more because they took a haircut from us? You know, so until you ask, you never know.
That's true. And, you know, I was pretty naive when I put in that grant application for the roads going to the state parks, because I was ticked that our bill didn't pass with real money. It was basically just take this and sit down and shut up. And I think that the county manager at that time had just said, go do it, because he didn't think it would happen. And so you never know until you ask. So thank you. We will get on this. I know he's already reviewed the requirements for this grant application. We'll do a little polish and get that submitted 2 weeks early. So that's a good thing. Second item is fiscal impact survey requested by CCI for all counties, 64 counties in Colorado, to complete this survey to help them have really clear, concise communications with the state and the legislature about unfunded mandates and the fiscal impacts their decisions force onto county governments. So.
And this is a significant issue with our fellow county commissioners across the state. Big, little, Front Range, East Slope, West Slope, North, South, they're all in the same boat, because we're facing all of these wonderful ideas that floats through the General Assembly and then signed by the governor and then gets implemented. Well, we're where the rubber meets the road. There's nobody to pass it on to besides the county government.
Right, so do you guys they want one survey per county. So can we just go through it right now and fill it out?
I think we should.
Okay, because
it's going to get filled out today regardless.
We must. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being perfect health, 10 being a financial crisis, how would you rate your county's current fiscal condition?
An 8.
What?
No, probably a 7. We've stopped the bleeding. We've stopped it for 1 year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So hard to rate it on a 1 to 10.
It's hard. It really is. I mean, if you put it on a number, is that a good one or a bad one?
Well, I think, I mean, 8, I don't think we're in dire straits now because of the hard work we did.
Unquestionably. Unquestionably, but we had to.
But we must be diligent and ride hard the review. So, I mean, I could go with an 8. If we are diligent, we'll be okay. So I'd be more like a 6. But if something gets away with us, we could be at a 10.
About a 7.
I'm so just you want to treat 7?
Well, no, I can agree that because you really got to look at it as a whole, right, as far as the county goes. Are we still bleeding and have no funding coming in when it comes to HUTF? Absolutely, which is dictated by state. There's no way for us to ever catch up with the kind of funding that comes in. And there's no other mechanism of funding. But on the other note, when it comes to our general funds and ideas, it's a struggle. It's difficult. And I'm going to be honest with you. We could be closer to a 9 if you look at the value of where we're at and the management we have done, which I believe has been a great job. But what we got in the future when it comes to the jail, the coroner's office, other aspects that have to be taken care of soon. Those are things that could elevate that.
Yeah, courthouse security. I mean, the list is long.
New judicial complex.
Yeah. Commissioner Gemmer, I would say a 9 because the unfunded mandates placed at our feet and the requirements that aren't funded, a lot of this stuff is just ongoing deferment, right? So, I mean.
Look at the cost that's going to be coming our way for just one of the unfunded mandates when it comes to the training for firearms to allow people to purchase, that egregious push from the state. That cost is unknown, and it will be brutal.
Good point.
Yeah, that's the one right in front of us.
Okay, 9.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think we are not far from the precipice of not being able to meet our obligations. If we aren't diligent and our financial staff are not diligent and we get some serious cooperation from our bigger spenders, we are at risk.
Yeah. And you're talking the state. Stop them from pushing these unfunded mandates.
Well, we're trying. I mean, kudos to Mesa County. Cody Davis and all his peers over there, they've got the ball rolling, and we've got a pretty good movement, I think, within our group of interest.
And now they're even talking about in legislation to limit HUTF funds for our roads even further.
Yeah, we're hearing that
for the deficit for the state.
And we already got cut from what we expected in 2025 and 2026.
Yeah, our HUTF went down this year, and they're going to cut multimodal for sure.
Yep.
And I've heard that they're salivating at more of that money.
That's my understanding listening to the CCI meeting. So.
Okay, so the next question. So I did that as a 9. Thank you, gentlemen. Next question. Which of the following factors has put the most pressure on your budget this fiscal year? Select all that apply. Inflationary costs of goods and services, rising personnel pension costs, decrease in state or federal grant funding, decline in local tax revenue, parentheses, sales/property tax, and increased demand for social services.
Yes.
I don't see the decline in tax revenue.
No, we don't have that.
It seems like
the inflation at 20% has definitely,
hit
our purchasing power. It's affected our ability to respond to market forces.
Yeah.
Okay, all but decline in local tax revenue?
We haven't experienced it yet, but I know you look at our neighbors to the west, the resort communities, they've experienced a decline in sales tax from about 10% a year from 2023 to current. So when you look at the summit counties of the world that are so reliant on sales tax, they've had to cut their law enforcement budget because that was the funding stream, how they paid for their sheriff, and they don't have it anymore.
And I could totally agree with those counties. When it came to Park County and the taxation from sales tax, the 1% that we do consume, doesn't seem like it has decreased exponentially as to its increased. It stayed pretty flat.
Well, and if you, the only real sales tax we have is the Land and Water Trust Fund, and
that's correct.
Has continued to grow, and if you look at the even in the packet, they had their receipts right over the last series of years, and we're approaching that $3 million income total from that fund.
Yeah, and then when you look at property tax, you know the added mills to the school districts didn't decrease our taxes by any way, shape, or form.
We were having this discussion last week, and we should continue this discussion because for those of you who missed it, your property taxes went up a lot this year and mainly because of your school finance K-12 contribution. It's confiscatory. It's not a willing contribution. It's what you're owing to the treasurer. And that's by design because for the first time in Colorado history, the state has imposed in tax policy more than one rate of assessment in a specific property type. We used to have in, under Gallagher, a rate for residential and a rate for all other. There were only two. Now we have two rates, one for K-12 education at a rate of 7.05%, times your value set by the assessor equals your assessment times the mill levy for the school. Non-school, non-K-12, all other local government, I believe the rate is 6.8, same value, same mill levy, comes up with a total. You look at the two of those in your tax bill, and it is bigger than it was last year. And it's because the state in its budget problems is shifting more of the demand for the payment of K-12 to the local folk.
That's a fact. And I am unhappy that they did not put state-imposed unfunded mandates on this multiple choice.
Maybe there's a note section at the bottom.
Let's see. So I checked all of them except the decline in local tax revenue. Next category is identifying specific budget cuts. In the most recent budget cycle, was your county forced to implement service reductions or cost-saving measures?
That's yes. A yes.
yes.
Next question. If you answered yes, in which of the following areas were cuts implemented? Public safety, law enforcement, jail operations, emergency management, infrastructure, road maintenance, bridge repair, water, sewer projects. Next one, health and human services, public health clinics, mental health, senior services. Next one, general government, information technology facilities, administrative staff, or last option, quality of life, e.g. parks and rec, libraries, community grants.
I'm going to have to say nearly all of the above as to just the budget cut we did based off of freeze for hiring covers all of those bases.
And we cut education and training by 50% across the board, so it hit everybody. Yep. We are experiencing a cut in public safety because of the condition of our jail.
Yep.
Now, quality of life, parks and rec, libraries, communities. We did cut. We did keep library.
Yeah, we kept them whole.
Whole.
As best we could.
As best we could.
There was there no, there was no training cuts on that section. I remember being there a slight training cut on that.
I think we cut them a little bit because we cut everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we did give some back for those that were, you know, or have to have qualifications or certifications. And those kinds of things to not cause trouble in that realm for them.
Okay, then we'll just check them all.
Okay.
Next one, which specific type of personnel cuts were used? Hiring freeze, yes. Furloughs, elimination of vacant positions, layoffs, and reduction in employee benefits contributions.
Hiring freeze, for sure.
And we have not instituted purposely any furloughs because that's a last resort.
I believe the hiring freeze is about the only one.
I think that's
we
it.
Well, we eliminated some vacant positions.
We did eliminate vacant positions and will not fill them.
And we did not lay off.
No.
And we did not reduce employee benefits and contributions.
No.
So we did good.
We held the line.
Okay, impact and strategy. To what extent have these budget cuts impacted your county's ability to meet its statutory requirements? This one's a write the answer.
All unfunded mandates.
Well, when you look at the totality of the requirements, and you can try to, you know, just from a distance. Okay, there's constitutional, there's statutory, and there's if we can. The if we can is pretty much gone because constitutional and statutory take all of the demand for the funding. Discretionary is just that. It's the last thing that we look at.
Well, and it says extend these budget cuts. So our budget cuts with regard to, you know, public safety infrastructure and all that, impacted our ability to meet statutory requirements. Well, we're doing more with less, and so I would say I'm not good at mincing words, that the product we would like to put out with regard to strategic master plan, we'll just say, may not be the product we could do 2 years ago with more money available, that we might just make things a little bit more trim and lean. You know, so our product quality might be reduced a little bit. We're still going to grade as many roads as we can, but
that's limited.
We're limited on equipment and the hiring freeze.
I was going to say the hiring freeze itself. So you're talking serviceability is really what we're talking about in here. The amount of service may be limited.
I think it's
time of service.
Yeah, I think you could just take and make a general statement that services are at the level of our abilities, but likely are reduced because we don't have the same amount of resources to dedicate to roads, for example, because our HUTF, our main funding source, is reduced. That's complicating our already underwater balance of $3,000 income to Greater Road, and it's $13,000 to $15,000.
So hiring freeze will force Park to deliver the level of services funded.
Yes.
I guess that's a pretty good statement, huh? Yep. Because, I mean, you get what you pay for.
It's truthful.
Okay. Has your county delayed any major capital projects, example, building renovations, new equipment, in the last 12 months to balance the operating budget? Please list the top three delayed projects. Well, we had a county courthouse security upgrade we wanted to do, but competing needs of the coroner had us defer the bucket we were looking at.
Right.
Trying to hold that money for matching funds for the coroner. But we really needed to do both. What do you think, Jay?
Well, I mean, it has affected our ability to plan. I mean, we had lots of things that we would like to do. Courthouse security was one of the components we wanted to use our ARPA money for to address it once and for all. But frankly, we're to a point where the capital plant of our courthouse is being exceeded by its demand, and its economic life is limited in the future.
So we want to say that Park has delayed planning for capital
expenditures for
projects such as county courthouse.
Yeah, judicial center. Because I don't see us creating a new administrative building in our lifetimes. This will suffice. But we do need to look at
the judicial center.
The county citizens need to look at, not just us. What do we do to improve our capital plan for once and for all in addressing the judicial system and what we have provided for to date is inadequate? We know from the trial just 4 years ago that the Oberholzer murders, that was inadequate. It just blew the seams off our court facility parking, just parking for the people interested. We have a big trial like that. It likely will be out of Park County just for facilities.
So we were trying to make do with just improving security.
Yeah.
But really, that building is inadequate.
Well, again, if we look at this, if we step back and look at it, I mean, the jail is a 90s building with significant issues. So we'll just leave that open the way it is. There's issues there of functionality, economic viability, and liability for that. We have a coroner in a perplexed situation that is inadequate to his needs. We have a courthouse that's not going to last much longer for utility. And if you look at that, you really look at a judicial complex. And that's one thing we have never addressed in this county. And the time I've been here. I mean, when I look at the old courthouse, I'm very proud of it. It has a long-standing history, the longest continuous-use courthouse in the state of Colorado, but not today. You couldn't get anybody in up the stairs, let alone have court. You know, so that's long-term, probably beyond us, but I think if we're realistic and we're honest, that's the kind of capital plant that really needs to be looked at.
That is the next step of capital plans of any ideas.
Okay, let's see. How does this sound? Park has delayed planning for a judicial complex or from addressing individual projects such as judicial center, such as judicial security improvement. Jail and coroner facility.
Yep.
How's that?
Sounds good.
Sums it up pretty good.
Okay. Let me clean up my typos here. Okay. Yep. That's called what? Kicking the can down the road? You ain't got no money. Okay, next question. If additional cuts are required in the next fiscal year, which department or service is currently considered protected or least likely to see a reduction? Ooh, yikes.
I don't know. You could say anyone was protected. The way we looked at it, everyone was looking at some kind of reduction because we had to in order to balance the income.
Yeah, I think that's an easy question to answer, just stating that there is nobody protected.
I mean, we try to it uniformly cut.
Yeah.
And I guess focusing on life, on health, safety, and welfare, I mean, we could just say that's the determining, that's the key we look at, right? So,
I mean, we didn't purposely go out and we didn't cut public safety per se. We took pieces and parts of it, but not public safety as a just a major item to cut. No one was identified that way that I can recall.
No.
So you want me to say no department is protected, but the funding focus is health safety.
Health safety and welfare. You bet. You bet. That's our mission.
That's it. That was pretty easy.
Okay.
Well, we could say a lot more.
Shoot that off to Kieran.
Yep. Let me just make sure I got this right. Okay. I think we are good.
Do you have any other topics?
That is all for the survey. I will have a copy. All right, it's off. They want me to tell them what's a bridge.
Make sure you're a human.
Make sure I'm human.
Oh, you're not a robot?
I'm not a bot.
Yeah.
All right, I passed.
Hey, good deal.
All right, that's all I had, guys. I don't know if you got anything else.
No.
I didn't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay. I say we're done.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody on Zoom. I hope you enjoyed the discussion.